All right, welcome to another special episode of Hodinkee Radio. Today we are focusing again on Porsche design, and much like we did with Drew Peterson on the previous Porsche design episode, we have a really special guest. His name is Andreas Nichols, and Andreas, you are the senior partner for Global Executive Creative Director based in New York for a brand called Profit, and we met working on the recent UBS project, and it turns out you're not only a Porsche guy, but a Porsche design guy. Is that accurate as far as the statement goes?
100% accurate. And, you know, it's something that has been close to my mind and my heart for many, many years. And look, it's fantastic having this conversation with you today, James. That would be a fun one.
Yeah, it's an absolute treat. We had a really lovely dinner a couple of weeks ago, and it only took a couple minutes. And there's a certain wavelength among men and women that like certain things. It only takes a couple minutes. The phone comes out. We're sharing photos of watches and cars and trading stories about, you know, finding great cars or driving and all these sorts of things. And it was very clear that you and I could have a pretty good time chatting Porsche design.
You know what I thought about it is how rude we were with the other 18 guests that weren't part of the dinner, because for like 45 minutes, you and I just talk about like the phone and the things and the trips and the you know, the trip you did to Austria with Porsche and the whole thing. So we kind of ignore. We were also like in a very loud place, but I remember hearing perfectly everything we're talking about. So I think that, yeah, we're kind of focused and excited about the conversation.
It was a little bit of a nerd out. I liked it a lot. And I'm really excited to be able to sort of redo some of that today and chat about it. Yep. And the I think the starting point's pretty straightforward. What brought you to a fascination either for Porsche's cars and then the watches, or the watches and the cars? What's the origin story here? Because Porsche is not a niche brand at all, but the watches are to a certain extent. They're known by kind of a specific group of people who appreciate. Usually it's the history and the fact that you can still basically buy the same watch today, which is a good mix in the watch world.
Totally. So look, I think like many of us who love Porsche and Porsche design, we fall in love with the cars first, but the watches are the entry point. And I think that that has always been the case. I think that, you know, I got my first Porsche design watch, as a matter of fact, I got in the year 2000 when I got here to the United States. For many of you who are listening, this accent is not from Brooklyn, so I'm coming much more south. So, you know, it's definitely a South American. I'm a Colombian guy who came here to work in the year 2000. And I think to celebrate that, I remember walking into Tourneau and buying my first Porsche design watch. And love it because it got me into the mindset. The rotor on the back was based on the wheel of the 911. It was this is started to be nerdy, but it's like, it was like a P6000 in titanium.
Yeah.
It was before Rolex started to do the rubber strap. This has the most beautiful
long before strap. The Oyster Flex. Yeah.
Yeah. Before the Oyster Flex. Right. And it was fantastic. And the thing was sliding the hand, and it's like, so that I was a point in my life, a young guy who couldn't just afford a Porsche, but I can definitely dream through it to a Porsche design. And that was like my first kind of introduction to the brand through reality, not to dreams, because the dream has always been, you know, the car as well. So that was a long time ago.
And so that original model, what was it? Do you still have it? And what were the sort of, what drew you to it originally?
So it's interesting. So the watches, the watches in the family. So I usually, with time, I've been trying to pare down in the amount of watches that I would like to have. I just have one wrist that I wear it, not two. And but my nephew has it. So I really believe in the notion of passing down some of the watches that were part of our journey. And they it means a lot. I think that it means a lot to him. I gave him for graduation last year while we were in Colombia celebrating his graduation. I think that was fantastic. You know, it's like, it's great to see it in his hand and seeing the excitement that I had when I bought it. So that was kind of like the first step into all this journey.
Absolutely. And how, since 2000, how has your relationship with the brand sort of changed? What are you focusing on these days as far as the models? Is it still largely Chronograph 1?
Yeah, see, it's Chronograph 1. So the reality is I always love Chronos. I always love complications. There's a fascination. Look, I'm an architect by background. I studied architecture many, many years ago and came here to do work in brand that is a little bit outside of architecture, but it's still brand design, right? And the fascination with gears and mechanism and movements and the complexity that goes into something like that, and imagine that kind of micro city in your wrist, I think it's fascinating, right? So to me, the chronographs are always been amazing. From there is the ultimate, for discussion and debate, the Chrono One still like a fantastic watch, and one that I was able to acquire, was able to get the latest kind of limited edition from you guys. That was, I think, is absolutely beautiful, and something that, you know, I strap in every time I had the opportunity to drive the car, and I feel that whole thing makes you feel differently. So chronographs are the passion right now, and some of the other complications as well.
Fantastic. And I, you know, as you get into it, and you said you've got the most recent LE that we did, which only came out just recently, what other sort of Porsche design models have kind of shaped the last, so 20 years of following along, and any cars that connected with it along the way?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So look, as I say, Porsche design has always been a fascination, right? From me, the most beautiful car, and this is where we're going to start touching some nerves into it. Like the most beautiful car ever produced was the 911. Then that the introduction of the 911, when it was done, to what has been happening with it, it's amazing. That was always my dream as a kid, as an adult. It remains to be in the thing. And, I had the opportunity to, acquire one from 1985. So that's been my, it's just amazing, right? This almost 40-year-old car who basically transports you a little bit to the past and get you to dream about what is to drive one of these things. It starts to get you the understanding of Porsche design and a little bit of the why in their choices they make, from the type, the color, the simplicity, the gauges on it. Like it's just fascinating. So yeah, Porsche design, it runs deep now in my blood, not because of quantity, but because of the few elements that I have now that really connect me with the brand in a very special way.
Very cool. And I'm curious, when you finally track down the 1985, early is maybe not the right word, but in terms of up to 2024, that's an early spec, pre 930 in that case.
And yes,
if you're
G-Series.
Yeah, and if you, one, when you went to pick it up, did you wear a chronograph? One, and two, when you sat in the car, or maybe when you had your first experience with a 911, did you feel that kind of connective tissue that Porsche design loves to talk about? Sometimes it feels like marketing, but then you actually get in an older 911, anything with the five clock face, and you kind of get, immediately it feels like the watch could sit to the left or right of either of those gauge packs.
Is that anything that, so look, this is crazy story. I found the car in LA to a fantastic gentleman who were kind enough to sell it to me. Never saw it in person. Just got it to be delivered to New York. And this is the longest trip. If you think about waiting for a package with anxiety, this is one of those. But the car in the look, in design, there's this thing that is basically the connecting thread. I think that something that runs pretty well around it is the connecting thread on the language used in Porsche design to really create objects that transcend time. And that's really interesting. Like a car that is 40 years old can go perfectly well with a watch that is less than a couple months old, at least in the limited edition, but has been with the car since 1972, 1973. Right. So you do see those two things. There's definitely not marketing. There's a design spirit that runs through it in a consistent way that is absolutely fascinating. And well, I try to avoid sometimes the matchy-matchy, meaning that that's not the only watch that I wear to just drive the car. I can tell you that is the one that it feels more at home when you're just shifting that kind of 915 gearbox up and down and just look at your wrist and it's the watch is there, right? There's something that suddenly between that cluster of instruments, the watch that is all in black with the white type, it feels perfect. It's just like there's something that feels natural for that two things.
For sure.
And it's fascinating.
I'm also curious, with your design background, the architecture, this is something you've dedicated like a quarter of a century of your life to is, you know, developing and understanding well-designed, well-iterated products and presentations and things like that. Do you think that background, that sort of academic take on design, like I can look at something and go like, oh, I like that. Maybe I don't like this, but I can't necessarily tell you why. It's like a gut thing. But once you go through the schooling, does that give you a special affinity for F.A. Porsche's story, for developing his own place to make these things? And then now, I mean, I'm sure you've been there. I had a chance to go to the studio in Zell, and they have like, it's essentially a museum to all the things they've worked on. And like a watch, and the Chronograph One is a remarkably well-designed, beautiful, long-standing watch. Everything you kind of want from a watch design. But man, they had motorcycles and Viennese train cars and Blackberries and sunglasses and mice, hard drives, anything, almost anything you could name. Porsche Designs either helped a brand design it or has kind of licensed out design ideas, that sort of thing. How does that hit you with your background in the world of design?
So look, it's super interesting because when you love something, I think the word love just goes back to something that you can describe, but irrational is usually the word. Sometimes we love things just because we love
it. It's an emotional thing.
It's an emotional thing. And I think that's something that many brands can get through it. The question is how many brands can sustain that love for decades and start to make sure that not only gets continuous, but gets amplified with time. I think Porsche Design is one of those. And I think with my background that it could be a blessing and a curse at the same time, because you start to look at all the little things that sometimes, you know, people may not pay attention, but they're part of an entire whole. It makes a tremendous difference. I think that the coherence of design thinking in Porsche Design and in Porsche, right, just to do from the car to the watch is absolutely fantastic. And one of the things that is interesting, it is that it's pretty timeless. A lot of the greatest design objects with time are the ones that don't feel only associated with an era. I can say my car, the 1985 Porsche, it feels like it is from 1985, but it feels at ease with a 2024, you know, sports car of the moment.
Sure.
And while proportions and a lot of the aesthetics have evolved with time, it still feels relevant. I think that this idea of great design that becomes completely timeless and relevant across time is fantastic. So to your point, yes, this being part of the journey. And I think that the more we age, the more we go through it, I'm not going to say the more we get old, but it's like the more we go through it, the more curatorial we are with the kind of things we want to be part of our life. You know, early on, it seems to be like adding a lot of things is what it adds satisfaction and happiness. The later on is the fewer but better and the right stories behind those products and designs is what it feels that is right. So that has been really what it caused a lot of the connection between a lot of just like a simple object, that an engine, a car, a watch, in us.
So in the process of that mindset of going from sort of a maximalist scenario, maybe early on in a hobby or early on in the, I think that's important because it gives you a chance to try as many things as possible. And then you start to develop real taste, and somebody in your position has actual taste. You've spent a lot of time developing essentially a muscle to be able to understand when something's not only good just for you, but good in general. And there's always outliers and there's new ideas and novel thoughts. There's less of that in watches. We love the mid-century in the watch world. But I'm curious, what else in your life, it could be other watches, it could be other cars, it could be something else entirely. What else in your life is kind of a good example of that progress from maximalist to very personalized minimalism, where you have the stories, you have something that you've connected to maybe over time?
No, look, I think in that regard, watches have been, it's been one of the longest things I've done with discipline. As a, let's call it a collector, aficionado, somebody who loves those little machines, the longest span of time, right? I think cars are something that they arrive later in my life when I were able to afford them and get some of the things we wanted to have with them. But watches have been something that I can tell you since I'm 4 or 5 years old, I remember having something strapped to my hand. So I think that journey has been really interesting. It's been a journey full of excitement, you know, at the same time is the idea of collecting has changed dramatically from many to few and better in having all kind of things. I've gone in my watch journey. I started my watch journey with swatches, but I've gone all the way to, you know, independence from Max and his MBNF creation to Laurent Ferrier to all those amazing kind of independent brands to go to the more, I don't want to call it traditional, but a more kind of like, you know, established brands that are dedicated to the craft of horology in a way that is absolutely amazing. So it's been definitely a pivot that caused me a lot of interesting discussions at home with my wife, just making sure that another watch is usually the reaction in many of these things. But it's been super interesting, James, right? The ability at some point to know when your taste evolves, you know, myself, when it's something you're all single versus now a dad, a husband, living
in a
very different world. It just changes, right? So yeah. The cars have been much more newer in that one. The cars is just something that is more about it. The watches is being forever.
You know, I'm curious on the car side, you have a G body, an 85 that you spoke of. Is that your favorite era of 911? You know, there's eight generations,
totally.
I guess, depending on how you want to divide it up.
Totally. This is going to divide the Porsche community in a second because everybody is going to have the moment, right?
Yeah, you got
to
have a
favorite. I think it is for a couple of reasons. I think that the original 911 is stunning, right? So it's beautiful. It's the FA Porsche design. It's just like the pure, it's purity, right? This purity and intention of design coming to realization in that car. I think that what they did with the G-body, it was fantastic. I think that there's something about the shape of the car and making it a bit more drivable than the original 911 that makes it a fantastic car. I as a matter of fact, I love from the three configurations, have the coupe, the Carrera coupe, that is the 3.2 Carrera coupe. It's just stunning. The simplicity and almost utilitarian quality of the car, just adding the exact things you need and leaving behind all the things you don't, it just makes it perfect. I have a couple of friends who have changed things here and there. I have this coupe headlights. It's still like, you know, I can barely see anything at night. But there's something beautiful about some of those kind of design details that were dedicated for the car, right? Most likely at some point I'll need to change it if I really want to drive it at night. But it's just stunning. I think that the curvature of that car, the way that
the
headlights show in front,
silhouette
is, that's the, between the original 911 and the G-body, I think is the iconic silhouette of what people, if you get people to say, draw the silhouette of a 911, those two cars are the ones that will come to mind in the majority of the cases.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a few things about, and it exists in a G-body, it exists in certainly in a 964. There's a few things about the driving experience that feel unique. There's not a different word. I don't think I'm misusing that word. It's a misused word commonly, but it's the ability to see the top of the wings, the top of both of the front fenders.
Yes.
So the ability to place the front axle is so easy, but the steering is so heavy. So at the same time, you have this sort of talkative experience. And
James. It doesn't give you any forgiveness, right? Especially
you have to get it right for sure.
Oh, those 915 gearboxes.
Yeah,
you either are going to have a good day of driving, or you're going to come home a little bit beaten, knowing that second gear didn't hit the way you wanted to hit. That you need to be super careful to not do the shifting of dead when you go from fifth gear to fourth. Just have the patience to drop it slowly so you don't go and.
Sure.
Do the full reverse.
I'll eat some crow here right on the program. Uh-oh. Right on recording. I drove former colleagues. I think it was a 71S Oslo blue, if I remember correctly. It was later sold to a very famous person, like weeks later. But I drove it on a little drive, and he threw me the keys, and I threw him the keys to the car that I had. And he's like, "Yeah, have a good time." And I hopped in it, and I don't think I'd never driven an S, so it had a dog leg.
Yep.
And I definitely started it in second multiple times before I realized that first gear was, I'm kind of a big guy. I have a lot of leg.
Yep.
So in a 70s, you know, in these G bodies, the first gear is under my right thigh. And luckily you don't use first gear that often once you're moving, so it's fine. But once I figured it out, that's the rest of the experience is something very, very special. You know exactly where you are. And then you can step into a 991, 992, anything, any of the modern stuff, and it's still the screens on the dash kind of throw me off. That's something that I think people will have to get used to. And especially with the most modern one, they don't do the tack anymore as a physical thing. It's now it's one big screen. And look, doesn't feel right, but give it time, it might feel okay.
It's also sensorial, James. Is so specific. It's not only what you do on the drive, but it's what you hear, what you smell. All these cars smell different. I think you get into it, and I mean it in a good way. There's nothing better than after a long week at work, you get on a Saturday morning in the car, you open it, it's 6 a.m. I love to just get early.
Let it warm up.
Let it warm up. You get on it and it smells different. There's the oil that comes through that is fantastic.
Yeah, vintage cars, I think for people who have never owned or had a lot of experience, the driving experience isn't always amazing. Driving the car can actually be quite stressful, difficult, you know, and if it's your vintage car, you learn the little things that keep it where it's happy. But the part that people don't understand, until even if you just get a ride in a car or you go along on a, you know, a Cars and Coffee Saturday, it's the smell, it's the vibration, it's the road noise entirely, especially, you know, even going back to the mid 80s, the experience is so much more simple, but it also feels so much less insulated.
It's also like, you know, for those many people who have vintage cars or old cars will get this, is be ready to have your heart broken.
Oh, sure.
Because some point we all get through it. In my case, I got a beautiful 911 that had only like 24,000 original miles. You know, 40-year-old car with 22,000 miles. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, not so good. Because those cars need to be ridden. They need to be driven, right? And think that the first thing that happens is the clutch gave up. There was a lot of things. So it's like those first months of ownership and making these machines yours are super important. But be ready to have your heart broken, because it always going to be, did I make the right thing? And then it's a little bit like it watches, you know, I know we call it patina in cars, has the same things. And some things are things that you want to work on it, some you don't. And there's one in my car that is very interesting and it bugs the heck out of my wife, is my seatbelt. When it retracts, it sounds a little bit like a small seal. Like it does it, and it's like, and I love it, you know, and it's interesting. And my wife saying this, put some oil on that thing. That just like, it's simple. There's something about the romanticism of the sounds and sights and things of the car that suddenly make it yours. And it's fantastic.
I'd agree. Yeah. And I like that experience. I like the experience of older cars. You have to understand that they will let you down. You know, it's like the phrase that Donut kind of popularized, like cars are pain.
I know. I want to knock a wood. Hopefully this is real wood because I would need it. But after the first set of like changes, I think that in just kind of maintenance and everything, then those cars are super reliable, right? That is especially true for those 3.2 engines. And, you know, the 915 gearbox is fantastic. So it takes a little bit to get in where you want to get in. But after that, it's just like the enjoyment of those cars. They're not the fastest ones. They're not the smoothest ones. If you go for a long ride, it's like if you went to the gym, you come home a little bit beaten. Suspension is not amazing. You feel, especially for those of us who live in the big cities, you know, every pothole goes to your body. That's how it needs to be. But I can promise you that anybody after one of those drives come back home with a smile on their face. That's just something that is like, for me, that's therapy. That's all the money that I haven't spent in any kind of like, you know, therapy. I spent it on just getting that sensation.
I think that last line, a lot of our audience will understand, whether it's watches or cars.
Yes, totally.
There's an element of this that is therapy for sure. Well, I'm curious what, as far as the watch side of it goes, and it could be Porsche design or theoretically otherwise, what's kind of captured your fascination even just in the last couple of years? Because watches changed a lot over the pandemic in terms of the way that the audience interfaced with them and the way that we now buy watches and all this sort of stuff. So you'd said you've got the Japan LE, that we did with Porsche Design, which is, I think, a fantastic watch. But also, it's a watch that sticks very closely to an established format. So, you know, you have to give credit to FA Porsche there, more so than perhaps any of our designers. But what are you excited about in watches these days?
I love complications. I love some of those. And I love when watch brands are able to deliver extremely complex kind of like, make, you know, like movements and mechanism and things into in packages. So my favorite complication is always, apart from the chrono, it's always been the perpetual calendar.
Sure.
That to me, it's just magic. That's just magic. You know, like in this day and age where we live into a digital world of one and zeros where nothing can be really explained, the idea that there is something in your wrist that has all these little pieces, some of them just move every 4 years. Some of them know when there's a 28 versus a 29, a 30 and a 31 moon cycles over the next 100 years. Come on, that's the definition of magic.
Fabulous.
Same thing that when a plane takes off and you're like, how the heck this thing is still flying? That happens a little bit with the perpetual, right? So the perpetual has that. So I have, you know, on top of the chrono one, I have a couple of those that I find super close to my heart. The beauty is different from some of the more integrated bracelet watches. Nobody knows what they are. You can just ride anywhere. I'm in London right now. Also, like, knock on wood, nothing happens. But it's just some of those things that are more personal and more for you than for anybody else. And I love those. I love those watches.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this the other day. You know, there's in the multiverse, there's another history where IWC stayed aligned with Porsche Design, and we ended up with a perpetual calendar
QP,
with a digital year in a 41 chronograph one case. And in my mind, that feels like something I need to make in Photoshop.
that would be so good. I had some of the QPs from IWC. So I had, but they come
rad,
like 46. I had 46, millimeter package. They're beautiful. Yep. And this one, the one I had was the black ceramic one.
The big pilot?
The big pilot. Yes, yes.
Very cool.
I still have like, my hand still has the, I think that the scar of
scar
wearing
tissue.
This, the crown of like,
yeah,
just like
it's not
the
a
thing
small
just
crown.
Hitting. No, it's not. But it's still a beautiful, like, iconic watch. So that combo will be fascinating. You know, just at some point, the replacement of the three displays for petrol displays, that'll be beautiful.
It'd be pretty exciting. I think so, yeah. Who knows? I mean, now that we're at a point where Porsche Design is manufacturing their watches in Solothurn, I've been to the manufacturer. It's very impressive and a huge amount of customization available, something that obviously they learn from being able to customize the cars. They take the exact same philosophy and sort of working process to bring customization into the watches. So who knows? I think it's possible we could see more and more movement advancements now that they've got the new chronograph movement under their belt in several watches and up and running. So I think it's an exciting future for sure. What in your collection today, what kind of stands as the Porsche Design?
I think that the Chrono one is definitely the watch that I love to have and love to collect in a way. I still want to find one from 1985. I want to do something where I do a little bit of pairing of the car and the watch. I'm on the hunt. So if anybody knows, let me know. Just, you know, it'd be fantastic to have that Chrono one from 1985. And they're on the wrist. There's something really unique about those stories that you start to do the 85 with the 85. So start to connect all those things, you know, because it connects you to a time and a moment where we all love it. But it's usually mostly just chrono ones, the chronograph ones from Porsche Designs, the ones that I feel that are just absolutely timeless. The one that at some point I see, it's very funny because I have a couple of other interesting watches. And I can see my son. The only one he puts his eyes on is in the Porsche Design, the Chrono one.
Yeah.
He's like, "Dad, that's cool." So
they are cool.
He has bought me some Sun Creds as well on that one. So, you know, it's the one that someday he will love to just wear, and it would be fantastic for him to just do it.
Well, I mean, one of the other pluses, we were chatting very briefly before we started, the kind of the pluses between getting into watches is a little bit easier than cars. Obviously, there's, depending on the watch, a financial difference, but also just storing them, caring for them,
James,
all that kind of stuff.
Is that a true assessment these days with the crazy watches we see in the market? I don't know. Some of the
watches are even more difficult than cars.
Yeah.
For sure. But I would say that in terms of sharing something with somebody else, a watch is even easier than a car. You can always take someone for a ride, and I'm sure your sons love that experience and that sort of thing. But
it doesn't have also the complication that sometimes the cars have. Like, again, sure, some of these things are complex into the drive, and it's like...
Well, and they require a relationship with the car.
Yeah, no. And it's interesting. They produce sometimes even fear. Like, in my family, nobody wants to touch the 911. Because it's like, you know, so when we go out, when we go out in the 911, I know I won't be able to have a drink or anything, because my wife will just say, we're taking an Uber after that. We're not just driving on that thing. She's There's some complexity on that. I think watches have more simplicity to understand what it is and to really connect them. There's also some of the daily wearing on a watch that makes it easier to create a connection. But both are absolutely fantastic. I think that for those of us who've been able now to get some of this classic car experience with Porsche, and definitely just pair that with Porsche design, is fantastic. You know what I also love about Porsche design? Sunglasses. I love the sunglasses.
Oh, yeah, they're remarkable.
I think they've done a fantastic job at creating something that has the functionality, but what they've done with the materials, especially they're super light and everything, they're absolutely remarkable. I don't think that they get as much credit as they should. And they're absolutely fantastic. Like, that's something that has always been part of my sunglass, you know, approach all the time.
Sure. Yeah, I think I've had this conversation with other friends who are obsessed with brands in general, not just watches or not just cars, but Porsche design has an uphill battle because there's so many other brands that saw what they've done since the early 70s and sort of co-opted the way that they do it, but not the execution. It's like the format is there, but they don't follow through. So I think when people see Porsche design sunglasses, you think like, oh, Porsche design slapped their label on some sunglasses they could get from somewhere else. And the way the brand works is actually way more specific than that. And they often, if they're doing something even close to that, they're finding the finest product and then they're putting their own spin on it. So, because the cool thing is you can, you know, if there was a catalog of Porsche design, you could flip from a hard drive to a watch to a pair of sunglasses to, like I said, the train cars in Vienna and see a connective tissue that's there.
You know what is the confusion that happens in this one? And this is close to my heart. There's somebody who works in the world of brands, is that Porsche design is not just branded merchandise by Porsche, right? This is by Porsche, right? You know, in a way, it is what they've done with the brand from the origins about creating products that really bring to life that Porsche, you know, design sensitivity and connectivity with everything is special, right? And I think that's what sometimes when you have a I'm going to call it a sister brand or a sibling brand like Porsche, and you have Porsche design, I think that tends to create a confusion of some of these things being more branded merchandise. And the reality is what they've done as a brand, and what they've done with design and with really crafting beautiful objects across all the different categories they've done is absolutely fantastic. But I think that you're right. I think that's when people get, it's always about frame of reference. And the frame of reference, especially with other car brands, is not as much as we have with Porsche design. And that's what is a bit of an uphill battle. But the moment you discover it, the moment you start to get deep into it, you can understand that this is not just, let's swap a logo, let's put a thing on it and call it.
Yeah. I would say, like, the thing I always try and make clear is whatever you may think about a given one design or something else from Porsche design, nothing they do is casual. They take it always to the final limit. You look at the history of even the watch part of the brand, you know, they've moved from different suppliers and partners, always trying to find the right mix that made sense for the product. And then finally, that meant going all the way back to being owned by Porsche AG and being part of the structure of the company and the rest of it. And that means something to Germans, right? Like the corporate structure is important to the way the family interfaces with the brand, the way the brand interfaces with the family name, all that kind of stuff. And it leads to something that's, I think, a little bit occluded by what somebody might already know about the car or the watch or the sunglasses, and it not translating across the way that it might if you took the time to really understand the whole scope. Because I think there is, like you said right at the top of the conversation, there is like a connective line through a lot of what the brand makes, whether it's a car or a watch or you know, sunglasses or something like that.
I think the thing on this one, James, that is really interesting is great design. Apart from finding an expression that connects with people emotionally, it has a sense of purpose, right? There's definitely a purpose-driven design language that is being used in this brand that I think is pretty unique. And it has resisted the temptations of time to just create something new for the sake of creating something new. And understanding that an evolution on something that works really well to be pretty minimal, and it's more about technology, materials. How do you just make this some of these things to just get them access? So I think that that's what they've done pretty well. I think that all the brands we love and admire, you can start to feel that as a thread that goes across all of them.
Sure.
Where design is not, it's not just, it's just not the core, but it's core to what they are and who they are as a brand and what they stand for.
Sure. Sure. Well, look, we've got only a couple minutes left. I obviously want to be respectful of your time. I'm really enjoying this chat, so I do need to watch the clock. I could go for a while. let's close it out with something simple. What would you love to see from Porsche Design in the future? Like if you were put in charge of the next couple years of the brand, or let's say you were made the CEO today, what would be like?
Wow. I think I would love to see from them a chrono package that I can put on the car, right? Like the same things that TAG have done that at some point has the chrono package. It would be interesting to find some integration between the timepieces and the car and the dashboard and the gauges and the whole thing. That would be really interesting. A Porsche Design to chrono, not because, by the way, I don't run any laps. I go up the Palisades and down the Palisades. So it's not like I'm... But there's something really beautiful about the performing quality of those kind of old chronos that you put and attach to your dashboard. That would be a fantastic thing to do. And I know that's very niche, but it'd be beautiful to have something like that from Porsche Design.
I mean, the cool thing is there's a lot of brands that couldn't figure that out. But between Porsche and Porsche Design, it could be a box in the configurator for your 911. And you could get a... You know, whether it's perfect. A lapse time or a twin chrono or something like that, like you'd see on like you said, from old Hoyer and that sort of stuff. So I like it.
Exactly.
That's a fun idea.
See, here you go. See you for the day. We got the idea.
There you go. Free ideas, Porsche Design. Get it, Andreas, if you need it. Man, thank you so much for this chat. It's an absolute treat just to sit down and chat with you. And please, just give me a call anytime. We don't have to record it. I could do this for a long time.
No,
but this is great.
Thank you so much. Absolutely appreciate this. The timing is the best timing. You made my day. This conversation about Porsche Design and Porsche, nothing gets better than this. So thank you so much and really great seeing you.
Absolutely. And a big thank you to our friends at Porsche Design for helping make this episode happen. If you have any questions or comments, leave it in the, obviously, the comment section on the site. And a big thank you to Andreas for coming on the show. And we'll chat to you soon on a future episode.